Have you ever wondered, why did God place me here? Like, why was I born in Canada in the 20th century and live in the 21st century instead of, you know, living in South America in the 1400s? Have you ever wondered that? Why am I here? What is the purpose that I'm in this particular place at this particular time? Something beyond my control. I think each of us in some way or another have thought about these things. And the problem is we can't really answer those questions fully. But we can wrestle with them. We can play with theories. We can talk through why I might be here. This morning, as a means of trying to wrestle through this question, we're going to be tackling our next big mystery of the mystery in the manger as we've been working through. We're going to be looking at the fact that God sent Jesus into the world at a specific place and at a very particular and specific time in history. And maybe in understanding why God sent Jesus into the world at this specific place and time, we might get a bigger grasp of why are we here, when we're here, where we're here. So what do I mean by the fact that God sent Jesus into the world at a specific place and time? Well, we know the story well. If you've been around church or have been at any Christmas service at any time, you have heard these words read from Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now, we glaze past this all the time. We just think this is the filler stuff, right? Wait till we get to the actual good parts of the Christmas story. There's also the part in Matthew 2. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. And for many of us, those names don't mean anything. They're just things we gloss over as we read the Christmas story. But what they do for us is they help anchor Jesus' birth at a specific place and time in history as we know it. Like, how often do we approach the Bible and think, oh yeah, this is like God's spiritual stuff. It's beyond time and things like that. We need to remember that this story takes place in real time and space. There is a time and a place that Jesus came into history. The time when Caesar Augustus was the emperor of the Roman Empire. The time when Quirinius was the governor in Syria and where Herod the Great was the puppet king in Judea. I have a bit of a graphic here, just a timeline to show us what this timeline would be like for us if we were to look at it, if we were to graph it out. That this took place sometime when Caesar Augustus was emperor in Rome, sometime when Herod the Great was in Judea, and when Quirinius was the governor in Syria. That gives us a window of time somewhere between 7 and 4 BC that Jesus was born. Jesus was born in a specific time and a specific place. Now, why does this matter? Well, in Galatians, the Apostle Paul tells us that when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. Now, some translations say it this way, that at the fullness of time, God sent his son. What we can look at when we see this is, God has been working up to this specific moment throughout history. This between 7 and 4 BC, when Jesus was born, God had been preparing things throughout history for that specific moment. He's been orchestrating the rise and fall of empires. He's been working through kings and rulers. He has been the author of history, preparing for the right exact moment when the Word would become flesh and dwell among us. So like our question, why here, why now, why am I here? We're tempted to ask the same questions of this situation. Why then? Why there? Why did God send Jesus to be born in first century Palestine, somewhere between 7 and 4 BC? What about it made him choose that specific time? What about that time was right? Now, we can come up with theories all over the place, and none of us can fully know the mind of God in this, but we can look at some factors that we see caused the gospel to just spread like wildfire in the first century, in that unique time in history. So, to understand the significance that Jesus came at a specific time and place, we're going to look at the time and place that he came into. We're going to look at what was going on, what made this time such an interesting place and time in history for the Messiah to come at that moment. There's a really interesting book that I read in Bible college by a scholar named N.T. Wright. It's called Simply Jesus. And in this book, he talks about the first century world that Jesus came into as the perfect storm, quote unquote. He uses the analogy of this storm that took place where these sailors were lost off the coast of Massachusetts, where there was a hurricane coming from the south, and then there were north winds coming, and all these things just converged at the wrong place and the wrong time for it to be a fatal storm. Well, it's similar in the first century in the time of Jesus. The political powers, the religious influence at that time were causing the perfect storm and in many ways the perfect place for the Messiah to come. And this is really held between two tensions, two parts of the storm that we're going to look at. We're going to look at Rome and Jerusalem, and we'll have it up here on the screen, these two worlds of empire and temple, of the state and religion. And each side had their own sway and their tensions and things that caused this to be the perfect storm for the Messiah to come into. If you look at Rome, the Roman Empire, one of the most magnificent empires throughout history that was in power at that time, it became an empire under Julius Caesar, if you remember your history at all. He took it from being a republic to an empire, and Julius Caesar was a guy who is a bit full of himself. In fact, he allowed people to think he was divine. And what began in Rome was what was called the imperial cult, where they would worship Julius Caesar as if he was God. After he died, especially, this spread throughout the Roman Empire, talking about how Julius Caesar was divine. He was this God who came and made Rome right. Rome was struggling to maintain peace in its vast empire. It had a huge, diverse spectrum of kinds of people, different religions, different ethnicities, all under the banner of Rome. And for the most part, they let people worship the way they wanted, but they would not hesitate to bring down the iron fist to keep unity, so to speak, to keep the empire running smoothly. Now, in order to maintain that peace, the worship of Julius Caesar as God was a big part in that. And after Julius Caesar died, his son Augustus took the throne during the time just before Jesus. And during the time of his ascension, Augustus came on the scene and news spread of his reign. In fact, the word gospel that we use comes from a proclamation that would be spread across the empire. And the gospel of Rome was this: behold, Augustus, the Son of God, has become king of the world. The Son of the one thought to be divine, the Son of God, has become ruler of the world, of the Roman Empire. This is one side of the storm, one aspect to what was going on at the time. While in Jerusalem, the Jews were really struggling under Roman occupation. There were many who, they were the compromisers, so to speak, and they just buddied up to Rome as much as they could. But there were others who were directly opposed, who were trying to spark revolutions, trying to spark uprisings to overthrow Rome. They were struggling under Roman occupation. And like we saw in this video just before the sermon, there was this sense that God had not spoken through a prophet in hundreds of years. 400 years since Malachi spoke on behalf of God. 400 years since there was a definite sense that God had spoken to his people. And yes, there were things that happened. The Jewish people returned from exile and they rebuilt their temple and they began worshiping God in the ways they always had in their golden ages. But things weren't the same. There wasn't the same sense that God was doing what he had always been doing among them. The temple, though it was built, wasn't as glorious as the temple was that Solomon had built hundreds of years earlier. They were no longer in their glory days. And though they were still in their promised land, they weren't fully the kingdom of Israel that they desired to be. They were conquered by the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans eventually. But during this time, when Jesus was born, there was a leader, a puppet king from Rome, who appointed Herod the Great to be king over Judea, the area around Jerusalem. And he did wonders for Judea's public image. He loved to spend money. He loved to build great things, and part of what he did is he renovated the temple in Jerusalem to make it glorious. It became one of the wonders of the world at the time. He restored the temple in such a way where it was more beautiful and glorious than it was in Israel's golden years, more glorious than it was in the time of Solomon. And so many in Jerusalem, though many didn't like Herod, others spread a gospel of good news saying, "Behold, the King of the Jews has restored glory to the temple." This is the world that Jesus was born into. Rome at one hand with their gospel of Caesar Augustus, and Jerusalem on the other hand, striving to regain glory in the temple and hoping maybe Herod would be that guy. This is the specific time and place that Jesus comes on the scene. But as we see in Jesus' life, he brings a greater gospel. He brings better news to both Romans and to Jews than either of those groups had for themselves. He has a better gospel than Augustus in Rome, a better gospel than Herod in Jerusalem. And we see Jesus very directly confronting both empire and temple in his time. Like, think about Jesus. He confronts the corruption of Herod's temple by waltzing in and overthrowing temples or tables and casting people out with a whip. Speaking directly against the corruption of the temple, foretelling that the temple would be destroyed, rebuking the leaders of the temple. Jesus came on the scene saying, "Yes, just because your building is beautiful doesn't mean God is impressed by it." In fact, Jesus, during his time in ministry, he spoke of a new temple. Temple that would be built up of his people, his church. A temple that wasn't as beautiful or glorious on the outside like Herod's temple had been, but was glorious because the presence of God dwelled in it. And sure enough, within 100 years of Herod renovating this temple, the Romans come in and destroy it. We see Jesus in his lifetime expose the foolishness of Rome's pride and hubris as the great superpower in the world at the time. Saying, "Just because you call yourself the Son of God, it doesn't mean your kingdom is eternal." Rome's empire as big and vast as it was, would come to an end. And in fact, Jesus and his apostles used the means of the Roman Empire to spread the message that Jesus was the Son of God. They used the peace that existed because of Rome's iron fist to be able to travel freely, to go from place to place without worry of wars. They used Rome's roads that they had built, the highways across the empire, to go from city to city and start churches and spread the news of Jesus. Paul, as a Roman citizen, even used this status to be able to take the message of Jesus all the way to Caesar in Rome by using the court system. Jesus uses Rome against itself to show that he himself is the true Son of God. Despite the gospels of both empire and temple, Jesus brought a better gospel. He brought better news. And this is Jesus' good news, that the one and only Son of God has brought about a new kingdom. And as its king, he's built a new temple, his people. The Roman Empire no longer exists, but the kingdom of God is still here and is still coming. The temple in Jerusalem is destroyed, but the big C church of God's people, his temple, remains standing and will continue to remain standing until Christ returns. Jesus shows that he is better than the gospels of Rome, of Jerusalem. His spread throughout the Roman Empire and the known world at the time shows that God has worked through those means to bring people to faith. But we can ask those questions, we can answer those, we can talk about this, and we can say, okay, so what? How does this help me answer my question of why am I here? Why am I here right now? Through all of this, I think we can say that it is not by chance that Jesus came when he did. God has sculpted history. He has brought the fullness of time through which the Messiah would come into the world. This specific moment, God chose to send his Son. God didn't throw a dart on the map of the world and say the Messiah will arrive here. He didn't roll dice and say this will be the date he arrives. It was meticulously planned and foreseen. He's been working through history to perfect this moment, orchestrating the rise and fall of empires to place the good news of Jesus at this specific time where it would spread and continue to spread to the present day. He knows the perfect time and place for everything. And if he does, then that means that God has placed you and I here in Montague in 2018 on purpose for this specific time, for this specific place. That it's probably not by chance that we're here right now. That we're in this room, that we are in this community in this year, 2018, moving into 2019. And if he has us here, then he probably has us here with a purpose. And I would be willing to bet, based on what we're talking about today, that part of what we're here to be about as God's people is to show that his good news is better than the good news of our world. Better than the good news of state and culture around us. Our gospel is better than the gospel of this world, than the gospel of our culture in 2018, moving into 2019. Our hope is better than the hope of our culture and our society around us. What if we are right here, right now, at this time, for the specific people around us that we know? What if we're here, this specific place and this time, having the experiences that we've been through to be able to help those around us who are going through that. To be able to show the faithfulness of God in the midst of it. We're here on purpose. God wants to use us for his purpose right here, right now. The baby born in Bethlehem between 7 and 4 BC wasn't an accident. We're not here by accident either. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you, though you are beyond our idea of space and time, have chosen to work in the specifics of time and place and history. And God, history is easy to look back on and say, oh, this is what was happening. But God, I pray that today you would give us eyes to see what you're up to right now. What's going on here in Kings County, Prince Edward Island, in the 21st century where you have placed us. God, may we have eyes to see the ways that we might be used for your purpose here. That we might be able to share the good news of Jesus here that shows that it is much better than the good news of the world around us. God, you are still at work. You're not a God of 2,000 years ago. You're a God of today. So God, may you use us today. May we find purpose in you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.